your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show. I have a couple guests in the studio. I was about to say the office studio, whatever. It's the same thing as a box. You sit in, there's some chairs and a desk. So it looks like an office. Okay. So I just want to welcome my guests, co-hosts tonight, April Kagea and Jayla. I do not know your last name. Why don't I know your last name?
You don't need to. It's
okay,
fine.
Just call you Jay.
Just Jay.
J-Lo.
I don't look like J-Lo, but yeah, Jay works.
But you know, you got that brown skin color going on. So I was just like, J-Lo. But okay, you're right. Don't really fit that. Okay, so we're here Saturday morning doing our thing. Just random as heck. Black Conversion Show is supposed to be deeper than actually I prepare for. So I just want to acknowledge that and have an integrity conversation with my listeners today. You know, Black Conversions is supposed to stand for, I don't know what that says.
11 to noon. It's 11. The show goes till noon.
Nate was trying to show me something. I'm like, what? Nate, I don't have my glasses on. I can't read. I have not prepared for anything today. So, yeah. Okay.
It's anyway, early. Saturday morning.
It's morning time, 11, and I'm not prepared. So, just to have an integrity conversation with you guys, this show runs on a news station, a media station, and their focus is on the news. And you know, for us, for Black Conversion Show, our news looks like what's going on in the hood. So, it doesn't necessarily align all the time with what's in the news. So we're going to provide you with our perspective of the news. And sometimes it might align with, you know, what they say and them are saying, but then we just add our own twist. So anyway, as I was saying, it was supposed to be a little deeper than I actually prepared for. So today we're just going to do what we always do, which is becoming a really bad pattern. So one day I'm going to get better when I get more time. But anyway, today is Saturday, right?
Yep, Saturday. And we're in Women's History Month.
Oh, it is Women's History Month. Yay. Yep, can we first acknowledge one of the baddest women that I know, that I love, and that's Beyonce the B. I'm sorry.
Okay. I thought you were going to say me, but okay.
Okay, yeah, you
I
should.
Knew you were going to say something like that. Let your friend come in here and say that.
Okay, but can we talk about how...
Wait, real quick.
Okay, what?
I just want to say happy birthday because you celebrated a birthday on Thursday, right?
Right.
So happy birthday.
I did turn 44.
Happy belated
your
birthday.
Girl is 44. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
And then we turned up in... Houston, and we're probably still turning up right now as this,
yeah,
you're
you
listening.
Just took a break.
Right, yeah,
I appreciate
you just,
that.
Yeah, we're going to be
for y'all.
Just for y'all. Just to stop by and say, hey, y'all, it's my birthday weekend. Okay, I turned 44. Yep. Beautiful 30, 44. I look like I'm 24. At least that's what I tell myself when I get up in the morning.
Period.
Okay, you made me lose my thought. Okay,
I'm sorry,
wait.
Beyonce.
Okay, Beyonce in the news. Okay, so we were talking about Beyonce. Beyonce dropped a new song, a country song, and it got white folks super upset.
Which is crazy because you know black folks came up with
country. Not according to white people. Black people didn't contribute to country.
Of course not according to white
people. There's a lot of things
people.
We haven't done according to them.
So they're always trying to take over everything.
Girl, why we post the article, I think it was the last month of Black History, which was like a couple days ago. We got 29 days this year.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? We represent. We got an extra day. So we made a post just acknowledging Beyonce being number one in the country station and something. Like, she hit some record, right? I don't remember what record she hit, but she's doing, her song is doing really well. So all these white people come on our post. And if you want to... you know, read the post in the comments. Listeners, please go to Urban Triage on Facebook. Facebook is back up. That's the news. They crashed today, right?
Yeah.
And Instagram crashed, but we get back
not
to
today.
That.
That was a couple of days ago.
No, that happened this morning. It was down.
That was on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
Yeah, that was Tuesday. It seems like today, but it was Tuesday.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
All these days blend. It's just blending.
It's just been a long drunk week for me. It's my birthday weekend.
Of course.
So, Beyonce, go to our page on Urban Triage, our Facebook page, and check out the post. And all we say is that we want to acknowledge our girl representing Black excellence and her number one hit in country music top charts or whatever that is. And we have white folks on like trolling. They making vomit faces. They're talking
about
this. What? They are upset.
Surprised.
Like anytime we like, I mean, first
That's
of all,
crazy.
White folks be upset just the fact that we are a Black-led organization and we give props to Black people and Black news and Black anything, black people like, but what about us? Like, what about us?
Why? Ben had that's everything. About y'all.
But this is like your whole, everything's about you. Like, and why would you be offended if someone carves off? But can we just acknowledge, I'm going on a tangent, but just follow me. But can we acknowledge that that type of emotional response only occurs when Black people center themselves? Because it doesn't occur when Latinos or Mexicans or indigenous or refugees or immigrants or other person. Oh, yeah. Support your culture. Right. And yeah, everyone should speak Spanish. Yes. And yes, everybody else get an ASL translator at the schools. And yes, let's put resources in that. And yes, let's make carve out. As soon as we say Black excellence and MMSD or Black anything, people say, oh my God, you can't discriminate. Can we talk about why that is so?
That's crazy.
It's super crazy. But is it crazy?
Nah.
I guess. I mean, it's white supremacy.
That we live in a system that's called white supremacy and no one wants to recognize.
Why are we talking like
that? I don't know, because I felt like...
Stop.
Why are you doing that?
Oh my God, I just made myself choke. Okay, so...
But that's similar to like... So Jalen wrote a book recently.
Oh, you wrote a whole book?
And she had a book
like
talk.
Like a book book. And I didn't get invited to the book talk?
Well, you... Probably
I invited
did,
you on
busy.
Facebook, but okay, that's okay.
First
we're not
of
talk
all,
about
hold
that.
On, pause. Okay, let's back the heck up.
Okay.
I can't cuss because Nate is watching me right now, and we got the dump button. Is that a mute button? What is that button? Who cares? So let's focus here on you, Jay. Let's focus. So
focus,
you,
I'm here.
We had this conversation before.
Yeah.
When you invite someone, you're supposed to do it not just on Facebook. And why is that important here? Why, friends? Why?
Crickets. Why, friends?
Why, friend? Because when you invite people on Facebook, sometimes they actually don't get invited. It doesn't show on their notification.
That's like how it crashed on Tuesday morning?
On Tuesday morning. So next time, since you're supposed to be my friend, I would appreciate a text.
Talk to my manager over there.
So kind of like the birthday celebration, how...
What happened with the birthday celebration?
Okay, we're not.
Oh, now we getting too personal. When
you went to Houston?
I got a book.
Oh, okay. I'm still in Houston. you're with me right now. Okay, so you have a book.
But my point to bring that up. So she has a book that she wrote.
Okay.
And then she had a book talk recently.
I can't believe
talking
this.
About at a church, all white women, talking about the experience of Black people not getting social services.
Mm.
And Jalen, talk about what that white woman said and how she tried to co-opt the Black
experience. What'd she say, Jalen?
So
there's the tea.
If you're so enlightened.
It
just was frustrating because I'm sitting here trying to advocate, like, we really don't get services, we don't get acknowledgement. That's just not where we at.
Right.
And she was it was just so hard for us in the 80s and did it
hard for who?
Because
it was hard for white people in the 80s?
Yeah, because they didn't get access to mental services and none of that. It was so difficult, all this fighting they've done. And I'm like,
That's an interesting approach.
Because in the 80s, I believe my people was getting locked up for
the 80s is the war on drugs. And when they actually put the drugs in our community and then claimed the war and then built more prisons to put us in jail.
But we get services, though, evidently, is what I heard, supposedly. But no, she just had some words for how difficult it was back in the 80s for folks who are white to get services.
Oh, that's interesting. You're listening to 92.7, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson. And what are we talking about Saturday morning? A little bit about everything. But usually we get back to the subject of... white supremacy, racism, and how it's everywhere. So recently, so this started with the conversation around Beyonce and people mad. They mad because Beyonce number
I'm
one on
mad.
The country charts. They mad. Can we just talk about how dope her song is? And can we also acknowledge in women's history just her dopeness, period, the B? I mean, I'm a B fan. Are you a B fan?
Yeah, okay, I went to her concert recently.
I did not because I was a little cheap. I didn't want to spend that money. But after seeing the documentary...
Look,
I will now go spin.
She is a performer.
Yeah.
She is. No joke. And the work that she put into it. I said, sis, you worth all $500.
Yes.
And next time you come in my area, I got you. It might be $600 by then. But
probably. Because I've been one
I know.
In the past.
I cried and stuff watching that. I said, look at our Black woman.
She
is
entertaining
on the
for
deck.
Sure.
So anyway, y'all. Okay, so in the midst of Black women, I mean, not... Well, shoot, Black Women History Month, I was going to say, but that
should be. That's right, it should be. Another thing we need to
Black
add to the
month, then Black Women Month.
Well, period. Just Black Women. Just period. Okay.
Celebration.
Just period. But can we talk about your boy Trump? Okay, because I think Trump is just an amazing example of who and what America represents. Is it just me?
No.
Because, I mean, this dude stormed the Capitol.
I don't know who could be able to do that outside of him.
Let a could be black folks.
That dude stormed the Capitol. On site. Popo followed him, right? Yep. Because remind you.
Co-signed.
Co-signed all of that. Yep. Popo meaning for our listeners that are unfamiliar with our language. Popo means police officers. They stormed the Capitol alongside of him. And I don't remember the time, the dates, but y'all know when it happened, right?
Oh, around January elections. 6th.
January 6th in 2020 or something.
23.
Something like that.
23?
22? That was him giving us 3 minutes. He don't know. Nate was just giving us 3 minutes. He's like, what you said, 23, Nate? No, 3 minutes.
He's like,
before
no.
break. So he stormed the Capitol with his cornies, and he like did it all through Facebook. They have all this proof and social media, and now he gets to come back 4 years later and run for president, and our Supreme Court supported it. So when you guys have a question about what kind of context we exist in where justice means just us. And again, for the people who are listening, justice means just us, meaning that the laws and regulations that are put forth are just for people more, you know, I'm not going to say just black people, because, dude, if you have any melanin in your skin, you right in proximity of us and they will include you too. But they try not to include you too much, especially brown people, our Latin folks, because then you can also check the box white Hispanic, which also allows you to get a certain kind of path, pass and privilege and access to whiteness, but we hate to talk about that. But since we're on the Black Convergence show, we're just going to talk about it. And then let's just also talk about how that shows up in all dynamics, like especially in Madison and Wisconsin. Like I think I talked about this before, about how much hate we get from brown people.
There's a lot of competition.
Yeah, and what are you competing in? Well, black women and like
Latino women.
Girl, look, can we talk about Wagner Accounting CPA? When we get back, I'm about to drag them, okay? Because I didn't even want to drag them. I need to still write
up. Because last time you didn't even call them out by name. I didn't. You named them this time.
That's because I got a new accountant.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we didn't transition into our new accounting firm.
Okay.
And I really appreciate them. But if you guys don't know, I am the CEO of Urban Triage. And as a CEO of a Black-led, Black-centered organization, we face a lot of challenges, a lot of obstacles, a lot of haters, and then haters that actually work for us. Like how I pay you 200 stacks. 200 stacks is what they charged us in 2023 to do our books, y'all, and they gypped us. And when I say they gypped us, they gypped us bad. They messed up most of our accounting. Our funders are questioning everything that we do because of the reports they submitted. They caused a few more audits, and then they said we out.
What?
What? Mm-hmm. These white people were crazy. And can we talk about the partner on our account is the mayor of Fitchburg. Can we talk about that? A brown woman? And I keep saying that I was going to write an article and a blog about it, but I just be not having time. So we got this show, so let's talk about the news. So when I get back, let's talk about, what's her name again? Julia Afrina. She is the mayor of Fitchburg. Yep. When we talk about anti-blackness, baby. Okay, we out. Let me go ahead and take a break real quick. All right. Listen to the Black Convergence show on 92.7 FM. I'll be back in a jiff. We're back. You're back. I was like, what am I about to say? We're back. You're listening to 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Convergence show. It's Saturday, whatever date it is today, but it's Saturday. And I keep telling myself that because I have to keep telling myself that that is Saturday. So before we took our last break, I was, of course, talking about anti-blackness and how it shows up and has been showing up big time in spaces that I'm in as a CEO of Urban Triage, a local nonprofit organization. We got formed in like 2019, right before COVID hit. So we've been doing a lot of direct service, homeless outreach, all kind of stuff. We do all kind of stuff, providing social supports and direct services. But nevertheless, during this time, we got one of the largest contracts in Dane County from Dane County Human Services, I think second to the airport, which is kind of phenomenal for a small organization. And the money was to go out to our community for rental support. It was the bailout money, COVID bailout money. And I think they allocated like $20 million to us. So in the interim of this, we had to figure out an infrastructure that worked for internal controls and audits. Because if you know anything about nonprofits, we get audits. audited for any and everything. Yep. Okay. Open records requests for everything. So we save everything. I don't care if it's a receipt for toilet paper, baby, you better scan that and save it in the cloud. Okay. Okay. So nevertheless, before we took break, we were talking about just so much anti-blackness and how I had Urban Triage hired Wagner CPA Firm. Now, Wagner CPA Firm is known to be one of the best nonprofit.
Like the biggest.
The biggest in Madison. If you need, if you have a heavy lift, you usually go to Wagner. People say, go see Wagner. Yep. And when I went and enrolled Wagner to become our CPA, we had been through a few CPAs and they sucked butt. And a lot of times we find in nonprofit, you'll find CPAs that just don't, they say they're experts, but they don't have the credentials to keep up with the grant management, the expense reporting, the compliance. The lift is heavy. So I literally begged Wagner to take us on because they said, we don't have the capacity. And Scott Hammersley, who was am I saying his name right? Scott Hammersley. But anyway, he was a partner at Wagner. Super dope dude. Shout out to you, Scott. I ride with Scott. He's retired at the end of December. And when he retired, they dropped us. So we were going to drop them anyway because of the anti-blackness and the racism. But Scott was a real cool dude. He handled the situation with grace. And he also handled it with understanding of that the people did not lack analysis of how racism works and how they were actually perpetrating against our organization. So to make a long story shorter than I have time for, because we have like 5 minutes. let's just say Wagner have teams of folks who support your organization. So they act as your CFO, right? Yep. Their job is to make sure the things you bill for are allowable, and that their job is also to support around the audit, and their job is to create the expense reports and the reimbursement reports that go back to all your funders, the city, the state, the federal government, whoever money we get to do our work. So the team was a white girl, her name was Brittany, a white dude, his name was James, and then Julia.
I had three people.
Yes, Julia, because we had a big push. We had millions of dollars, right? So Julia was the partner. She was the supervisor of the team assigned to us, and she is the mayor of Fitchburg, and she is a brown woman.
Wait, she was working for Wagner?
What? She is the number one of the partners of Wagner.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. What?
I did not know that.
Girl, okay. So she was assigned to our case, and she was assigned to our team right when she was going through like her run. So I'm like super excited, like I got this brown woman on my team. This is super cool. You're running for office. I'm like, oh, I'm telling people to vote for her. I'm donating because you're brown, right? Because you know we can do all this brown black thing, but it ain't the same when it comes to black people. But we only gonna have that conversation right now because y'all get real in y'all feelings, okay? So anyway, I mean, they're getting their feelings so bad, they're crying. I bet you they're going to share this. I'm like, did you hear what she said?
She dragged
send us. A letter. Okay. Write
the
publisher.
Speaking facts.
send a letter to the board. I don't know what to tell you. So the board of Urban Triage, if you want to file a grievance, please send an email to info@urbantriage.org.
She said, look, contact us. Okay.
Period. Let us know.
So anyway, I'm on this team. You know, we get started. So in matter of fact, the coolest people that was part of the team were the white men. Scott Hammersley, he was good. He was always open to, you know, figuring things out and making things work for us. James, he was cool as heck, but I'm telling you, that white girl, to have me sit on a Zoom and tell her what to do irritated every bone in that white woman's body.
Well, why are you telling her what to do when you hired her to work for you?
Well, because I'm the boss. I pay you 200 stacks a year. Then when I need you to figure something out, I need you to figure it out, right? So there was things that we needed to figure out because we had to prepare for our audit, right? So there was cleanup they had to do from our last accountant. And I'm giving.
That? Did you work for numbers? Work with numbers?
Oh my God! We get. You know how to talk about them. We had a lot of accountants. So
stay focused.
Stay focused. So in this conversation, right? Like I'm saying, like this is what we need to do, and this is how our organization functions. So Urban Triage runs programs that are umbrella programs inside of each other, like our Supporting Healthy Black Families. Inside the umbrella, we have co-conspirators, masters work groups, Supporting Healthy Youth, Supporting Healthy Black Agriculture, Supporting Healthy Families. We have these like subgroups of groups, and they all have different funding, but when we write grants for them, we write them for the whole umbrella. And you know why we do that? Just in case we're short in a line item somewhere, we can move it around. Yep. So I'm explaining this to this white woman, and I'm saying this covers this because look at the grant and how it's written.
Right.
It's written for all of our Supporting Healthy Black Families work groups. Yeah. She would tell me, well, we can't do that because it's not eligible, or we can't do it for Supporting Healthy Black Agriculture because it's not. And I'm like, it is an umbrella program, sis. And I intentionally write it that way so that we could move money however we need. Because if you don't write in a specific way, then you become locked in, right? Yeah. So I'm telling her what to do, and I'm trying to tell her, explain. And then we have our Unhoused Neighbors program, which is multiple housing programs. And those clients are served under our Super Supporting Healthy Black Families. Okay. So as long as we serve them under different programmings, we get to use those as match funds for the other program, as long as we're serving them. So makes I'm explaining sense. To her, this is how I was smart enough to set it up, because I understood funding and how we had to associate
resources
and make it work for us. So she would push back and she would talk so much stuff. And then she would send out letters to our funders questioning how we were expensing our stuff and what was allowable. So mind you, before them, we've been doing this work 3 years. Before them, we never was questioned about anything. And I did all the reporting, right? And I, of course, we passed all of our audits. We had a couple of things that we needed to do in our audits, which was like, we didn't have a procurement policy, but it wasn't anything financial management, right? So, but once they got started, everybody around us questioned us. Everybody around us audited us. And then they would give us numbers that was inadequate, like in wrong. So like when they closed out at the end of December, they gave us all these wrong numbers. And then we had to go back and figure it out. Mm-mm. And then they gave us a $40,000 accounting system that they never showed us how to use.
You can get fined for stuff like that.
What? It was hell working for Wagner. And y'all tell them, tag them, okay? And I am gonna write a blog
about
it. You
said working for instead of working with.
Okay,
isn't that crazy?
Ain't it crazy? Because that's how it felt. I felt like I was, they were paying me.
Right.
And I wasn't the boss, and they were acting like I didn't know what I was talking about, right? Because there's always this questioning of Black women and Black people and Black leadership, just like Beyonce said in her documentary, like, I'm a billion-dollar chick, and I'm telling these people how I want my stage
and
architect,
they no.
and you're questioning it and telling me no. And that's how white people do me. That's how white people do urban triage. In our work all the time. But Wagner was the most difficult situation I've ever had with a contractor, someone paying me. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, not paying
you
me.
Paying you paying them.
Right. Look, it's the whiteness. It's like, oh my God, right? And I'm paying them and they're treating us like we're sad. But that's only half of the conversation. That was one thing. And then Julia would show up in our meetings and conversations all sad and upset and snapping. And then one time I just told her, this is what anti-Blackness looks like and all of y'all need training. So we can continue the conversation in a second because we got to take a break from our sponsors. Our sponsors are probably going to pull a couple ads after hearing this. Sorry, Civic Media. But we'll be back in a jiff. You're listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Convergence Show. Don't worry what people say. You're on your way. I can see you can find it. All right, all right. Now you're listening.
Well, I thought that was an actual song.
Okay, you're Brandy. Listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Convergence Show, A Hot Mess Saturday. Today is, we're happy to have you listening to us as we just talk randomly about the anti-ness. Because, you know, we just talk about local stuff. In our local news, Wagner sucks. Wagner CPA and their lack of accountability and their lack of interest in really dealing with the issue. So let me tell you how they dropped us. Because why not? Yeah. Why don't I tell you?
Right, keep going. Keep
let
going.
Me spill the tea. So we were having issues with them and like bumping heads over things that didn't make sense. Like we went 3 months without any billing. So, you know, for nonprofits, most of the money we get is reimbursed. Right. So that means like we have to front the money, then send in an expense report, and then we get money back. So they want to transition us into this accounting system that no one understood, and we still don't understand it. And we were working in QuickBooks just fine. They want to transition us into this.
Sounds familiar.
And they want to charge us $30,000. Well, I'm telling y'all, don't use that report. Don't do it. Stick with your regular accounting. Make them work in there. Because you know what then they're going to do? They're going to say, all the systems that you use for payroll and everything else don't integrate. We
was
can't
this something that they had to control versus you controlling? This is literally what I'm going through
we
right now.
We couldn't control anything. And then they didn't offer us the training. So then they would show us like a 45-minute video and say, well, we recorded it. Go to watch. I said, we don't know how to pull reports. We don't even know how to read this report.
Right.
And then they told us that we need better grant management. Girl, it was a hot mess, right? So,
but you didn't before they came into the picture.
Right, when they came, right. We was fine before you right. showed up, Mr. Wagner. Right, Mr. Wagner. So let me tell you why they
not Mr. Wagner.
Let me tell you how they dropped our black butts, right? And then our whole, because you would think we had a brown woman on the team that there would be some kind of empathy, compassion,
some advocacy.
Yeah. But she never showed up for our meetings. It was just Brittany, the white girl, leading the way. James was really cool. He was always trying to figure it out. But Brittany, like, you ever pay attention to the white woman, white man dynamic?
Sure.
Like how they show up sometimes when they being like too nice or too like trying to work with you or helping you figure out things.
Yeah,
James, we can't do that. No, James, that's not allowable. James.
Like,
And James would be in the room like, he's like, well, we actually can't.
We actually can't.
Right. And then Scott would show up and he'll be part of the conversation, the partner or whatever. And then he'd be like, well, actually you guys should have did this, this and that. And that's not what you should have did. And then they would really get Pete. But Scott didn't show up that often, right? And he didn't show up until all hit the fan.
Yep.
And then he had to come to all of our meetings because it was so bad that we could barely get through the meetings. Because Julia would show up, the mayor of Fitchburg, would show up and be so emotional and heated. Because, I mean, real talk, if you're the mayor, that means you have to have emotional intelligence, right?
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence to be able to ground yourself in the moment and figure out how to get through and work through an issue, especially for your client that's paying over $200,000 for 12 months of accounting services. Mm. So it was a show, okay? So I don't care if what they say, because there's no lies. And let me remind you that every meeting I have with white people, guess what I do?
You record it.
Hey, man, because what you ain't gonna do is say I'm lying. So if you want a receipt, I got it in iCloud. Amen, amen. So when we started, so this is the thing. Like, even in conversation, we would ask them, what can we do about this? What can we do with this? They'll tell us, oh, you could do this. You could do that. We could do this. We can adjust this. And then we'll get flagged by a funder and say, no, you couldn't do that. Or that wasn't allowed. And I'd be like, well, they said we can. They'll turn around and email and say, we don't remember that conversation. And then I'll send them.
I can go back to
I would send them the date and the recording. And say,
right here.
Just in case you forgot, all of our meetings are recorded.
Right.
And on this specific day, March the 6th, 2023, at 2:43,
like,
you can check the recording.
I got receipts.
Man, let me tell you, it was a hot mess. And then so Julia didn't really come to our meetings. It would hit the fan, and then she'll show up and be like, well, they said you did this. And I said, and I would say, well, James, is that really what happened? Because what happened was, and James would be like, well, yeah, that is actually what happened. What? So then we go, our board says, because of all the back and forth, the board says, hey, we need to find a new CPA. Mm-hmm. So we start interviewing CPAs. Koloff is our current CPA. Hmm. They call Wagner, I guess out of respect, because they work with Wagner in partnership.
Okay.
So they call Wagner and say, hey, Urban Triage contacted us about services and a contract. We know they're with you, but we just want to extend a currency that they had. We had met with them. So guess what Wagner did the morning they contacted them?
Cut you off.
They sent us a letter and said, we no longer would like to go forth in our contract with you, and our contract would be ending effective December of the end of 2023.
What?
Yeah. And then when I met with Scott, like, what was that about? They said, well, they said that it was your grant management. I said, that's funny, because it took y'all 8 months to roll out of our accounting system. Oh. You started in January. We didn't get access to our accounting system until August. So even if we wanted to do grant management and do stuff ourselves, we couldn't, because we didn't have access. And then you went 3 or 4 months without billing. So then our money was funny. It was show. And then you say it was a grant management issue, but it wasn't an issue until Koloff called you. They called you at 8:09 a.m. You sent the email at 8:39 a.m.
Damn.
What?
That's shady.
Gotta have your receipts.
Look, all I gotta say is all of it was shady. And what Julia represented for me is every brown person, not every brown person, because that would be a generalization and that would probably stab you, because some of y'all are my dogs. But in Madison, Wisconsin, there's this dynamic, especially with brown women, where when I individually come in the room and we're talking about housing, services, grants, collaboration, cooperation, collectiveness, there's this sense of, you can see it in their face, because you know we be on Zoom. They'd be like,
right. Madison,
I'd be like, Black Lives Matter. They'd be like, brown people matter too. I'd be like, y'all sounding just like white people. And then you're not even understanding like the issue here. Because this is, and as I often say, there's no Olympics in oppression. There just Ooh, is, like right? That. There's no Olympics. I'm not trying to prove to you or right. trying to compete with you over, you know, the fact that Trump put up a gate, the fact that yeah. people you were married with to voted against you, the yeah. fact that your kids were taken away from you. There's no competition here. Right. All it is a system of white supremacy which has this relationship with blackness that in order for you to get what's just for you, brown people, Asian people, white women, that relationship has to end. Mm. Because again, we live in a context of white supremacy and the dimension of relativity. What does relativity mean? It means that everything in our dimension is relative to something else. Mm. Whiteness cannot exist without blackness. Mm. You know, white people define themselves by our black skin. Mm-hmm. They don't look at brown people and say, huh, look at that brown person. That will make me white. No, you know what yeah. they do? They look at the black person and say, that black person is the opposite mm. of me, so that makes me white. And then I get to create this social construct of blackness and whiteness by saying, oh, look at those darkies over there. How can I make it so where everyone hates them and we are the prototype right. of humanity? So what we do is, right, we'll make them the animals. We talk about mm-hmm. this in Dr. Joy DeGroy, all the sites to study and the study of racism done by white people too. Y'all have all come to the same conclusion mm-hmm. that cognitive dissonance is huge for white mm-hmm. people, right? In order to be the prototype of humanity and to kill the world, right? Conquer the world and kill everybody and bomb everybody and then point your fingers at others and say, look at the Nigerians over there living like yep. animals. In order to do that, you have to make yourself the prototype. Mm. Right? You have to. So you did. So the whole system of democracy in America is based on that prototype. So then we get a Trump in office mm-hmm. that can storm the Capitol. Gosh darn it. And we march down the street and you guys like, oh, the animals. Right. They're not patriots.
Call back up.
Right. So, okay, I'm done, y'all. Okay, y'all want to add something to the conversation because I just went on a whole tangent. You're listening to 92.7.
I think this goes back to what was started right after the protest. The
yeah, just, yeah.
When, what was it called?
The riots?
No, girl.
The looting?
Co-conspirator.
Oh, our co-conspirator work group. Yeah.
So, like, okay. You teach white yes. folks about this, right?
Yes, I do.
Maybe talk a little bit about
educate
the transformation that some of your allies
oh yeah
have
my
had.
White people so when yeah. they go through our training they really do
because you're
have
not racist
moments.
Despite what it sounds you're not racist you're
right. You particular folks
let's just be honest. I cannot be racist. I don't have power to
right,
be
you're
racist
not prejudiced, right.
I could be I can be prejudiced mm. and I do have prejudices because I right. exist in a world that constantly reminds me of this dynamic of blackness and whiteness, right? Yep. And it's projected on me, not just by white people, by black men mm-hmm. also, and yep. brown women. The dynamic and the complex.
Actually, can we talk about that? Can we talk about black men?
Oh, yeah. Being, oh Lord, we didn't transition.
Especially the ones married to or dating white women, because them are the worst.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Okay.
That's
okay.
tough for me because
Jay's our, she's our mixed
be here
privileged person, right?
But I ain't black, so.
I know, but I'm just saying, the way those black...
Jay's like, hold up, my mama's white and my
but
daddy's
no,
black.
I'm not talking about black men and white women. I'm talking about the way that black men who are in a relationship with white women treat black women. Mm. That's different. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so say that again because we need clarity here on 92.7 FM. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show.
92, what is it?
Huh?
Whatever you said. Look. Black, there is a different type of black man. The black man that dates or is in a relationship with a white woman treats black women very differently.
But all black men that date white women treat black women
very
differently?
In my experience, yes.
In what way is that?
How much time do we have left?
We got 2 minutes.
Oh.
For that subject. We got 5 minutes total.
Damn.
Okay. Darn.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Wait. Can we say that?
Darn. Can we say? Okay.
We're good.
At least I didn't cut like the very first time I came on the show.
I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm coughing. My asthma is kicking up today. Last week it was my allergies. This week it's my asthma.
It's probably the drinking, because you know birthday weekend.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. Right. Okay. Go ahead.
But no, they just they look at us differently.
Why?
We don't get trusted. We don't get respected. Mm. It's I don't know why. Mm. It's just. It's
I would ask black men to call
dynamic.
In, but this is not a live show anymore, so I will not ask you to call in.
I think we should at some point. Can we do a live show?
I don't know. I can ask Nate, the producer and the owner of the station,
ask
if we can
Nate
do it one
if
time.
If we can do a
Nate,
live
like,
show.
I'm the producer, G. I just show up, okay?
That would be a good thing to have black men call in and talk about.
Or we can just invite a black man on.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what we do. We just invite a couple black men on our show, and let's talk about the dynamics of white supremacy and the attributes of white supremacy that black women and black men embody, right? Mm. So that we can have an equal playing field, because there are attributes of whiteness that we all embody. So part of our co-conspirator teaching is to teach people that white supremacy actually isn't about race. It's about a power dynamic that has created this social construct and this dynamic between black and white. And on the spectrum of black and white, everybody else falls in between, right? So it goes from whites to Asians, to brown people, to black people, and then actually indigenous people, because we actually forget about them. We forget about them in the context. But I don't want to, because, you know, last time I talked about indigenous people, I got accused of erasing their history. And then Madison 365 wrote a whole 6-page article on that. I said, that's what you write on. And it was in the midst of me running for alderperson.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so that's like a community center, a community center newspaper that decides to write about Brandi Grayson and her anti-indigenous stuff, because I was saying that Africa was the birth of humanity, and then the people that were born in Africa was black and blue, and then they spread across the whole globe to create other races, and that actually slavery didn't just was, black people just didn't get to America through slavery, we actually was already here. And if you read the writings of Columbus folks who actually never landed here, they talked about coming here in different areas and seeing people that were blue black. Indigo people. They were so black, they were blue. So that's what I was talking about at the time. And then they wrote this whole article, and then all these indigenous people showed up and said, I hate you. You erased our history. I said, y'all sure love to hate me, but y'all don't hate the white people that's oppressing us all. But that's of course. Land, okay, but it's cool. It's cool. Right. Be mad at me and I'll go ahead and,
I do.
And bless, but anyway, it's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it. Okay. Anyway, I digress again. We got like 1 minute. Okay, so I think next time though, we should bring on
black men
and we should talk about the power dynamics and the attributes of whiteness that we have swum in and been indoctrinated in, which leads to us dealing with each other in a very negative, devaluing way. I think that'll be our next show.
Okay.
Then that way we're not like saying, ooh, black men, this or that, because I actually love black men. I mean, I actually have a black man, and I have a, I have a black son.
I have two black sons. Absolutely.
So, but sometimes we have the conversation this, at, like, I would just say family conversations about the dynamics and complexities about being black. And then people take that when black women say it as anti-black manness, right? Oh, you must. Because, you know, when
you
I
hate
start.
Black men, then.
What?
Yeah,
people
no,
said,
that's
I thought.
Not what I'm
they
saying.
Was like, Brandi, I thought you were gay because you never dated men. I said, well, I could be gay and still date men. So I don't know. Like, what difference does that make?
I could be queer, gay, and like black men. So
whatever. I could be whatever I want. But at the end of the day, people come up with these conclusions. Like, you see how she's always hating on men.
Yep.
But I actually really, really love men. And I love their chests. And I love their
Brian.
Muscles. And I love their arms. And I love laying on his chest at night. And I love how he holds me when I cry.
Okay. All right. We're going to wrap it up.
And I love looking at his skin and his chocolateness. And I love how he wear like a blue suit on his suit. And I'm like, ooh, look at my baby with the bow tie.
Okay.
So I love all of that. Okay.
And y'all having a great weekend celebrating your birthday. Happy birthday again, Brandi.
Okay. So, okay, y'all. Of course, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show, where we talk about racism a lot. Can y'all do me a favor? Fill out any surveys you get to say, write your legislator, write your Senate, write whoever you can about Trump and this whole Supreme Court stuff. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous, ridiculous. And then go out and vote for black people. Vote for Dana. Vote for April Kageya. Fox News ran a thing about the county exec, and they said everybody picture except for Dana's. That is what whiteness looks
racism.
Like. Okay, we're out of here. 92.7 FM. Peace, love, and hair grease.
Bye.
Okay, you're listening to The Quiet Storm on 92.7 FM. I'm just kidding. You're listening to Black Conversion Show, but that song made me think of like, well, look at that Quiet Storm. Y'all remember The Quiet Storm?
Yes.
At night growing up, and they were listening to all the jams,
so
the
nice.
Quincy Jones jams and all the R&B. That's what that song reminded me of. So before we thought it was our last segment.
We or you? Or you too? Because I was good. I was chilling.
Whatever, Jay. It was us.
Right,
okay,
it was us.
It's always us, apparently.
Apparently. Just y'all.
So what I was saying is there's people running for office. We have Dana Pelabon, who's running for the county exec, Dane County,
Go
Kelly exec. And when are elections?
Yeah.
Elections.
Not until next year.
But they have primaries in April, right?
No, not for county exec.
What? You sure?
Not until November.
What?
Well, she is a
So then they do the primaries in November, And then we vote for them when? The following April? Because don't you do primaries? Because you got to eliminate. You got to get down to two.
Right.
And then they run. So isn't primaries usually in April and then we vote in November?
But this April
there
is
should
county
be a primary
board
in August.
Oh, August. Yeah, yeah. Okay, a primary in August and then they run, you vote in November. Okay, so let me tell you about Fox News.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm listening, I'm watching Fox News and I'm just going to say Black people should not watch Fox News, my partner, yeah, Brian, loves to watch news at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Right, so I'm throwing shade at you, babe, because what the heck, okay?
But he's staying informed. You can't be mad at him for that.
Girl, I hate Fox News. But we're watching it, right? I'm sitting there, and then they talking about the county exec. So then I pay attention because I'm like, my girl running. Yep, I want to see if they show her. Yep. The first person they show is Wayne. What's his name? Wayne Strong? Wayne Smith? Wayne? Oh,
Wes Sparkman.
So they show him, Black dude. He's sitting back his suit talking about, you know, A, B, and C. And I'm like, okay, I can get that. I'm still voting for Dana. Okay, then next they show the white dude, right? He said a couple things. I don't know what he said because it wasn't important to me, okay?
Yep.
And then they just mumble over Melissa Sargent. She's the third person. So they show a quick picture of her. You don't hear nothing she say. They don't show a picture of Dana at all. They say these are the four people.
Her?
What they said, Dana. They mushed Melissa Sargent and Dana Pelabon's name together at the end, but they didn't even show a picture of her.
Really?
But I thought it was a perfect symbolism of how white supremacy works.
Yeah.
Right. So you have the men that gets most time. Right. And I think showcasing Wes first, I think he has something to do with the current county exec. What does he do right now?
He currently works for the county. He's in a high position in the county.
That makes total sense.
So the county exec is his current boss.
Okay, so he's the chosen one, right?
Yes.
That's what I took from this Fox News.
Yep.
He's the chosen one, and the white dude is the backup. Melissa Sargent's like, okay, you a white woman, we'll give you a picture. And then Dana, you the Black woman, we ain't even going to show you. Okay?
And there's another white woman, Regina. Ooh.
She just jumped in?
She jumped in before.
When? I ain't even heard her name.
Girl, she jumped in last October.
Girl, they
way
didn't even mention
early
her.
Because she doesn't really have a whole lot to bring.
But dang, so they could at least mention her. She's still on the ballot.
She is.
Sis get to be honored too. But can we talk about why Dana is the person for the job? Mm-hmm. Can we talk about how she's been working? And let's first talk about what the county exec does real quick. What is the county exec role?
What do they do? They run the county.
They run the county, but their biggest budgets are what?
Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's number one. That's
Dane
the biggest
County
department.
Human Services, Child Protective Services, Dane County Sheriff.
Yep, all of that. Mm-hmm. And so Dana, she runs a Rape Crisis Center. She's executive director.
So she's been managing people in programs for a long time.
Long time. She's worked for a lot of other organizations. She was county board supervisor up until this April. Mm-hmm. She's out in the community. She does theater. She acts. I mean, she's everywhere.
She's an advocate.
She's everywhere.
And she also knows how to cross communities.
Yes.
Right. That's what 100%. I think I love the most about Dana is that she could go in any room and bring together some type of compromise or bridge. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can have the leftist of leftists, the most. Mm-hmm. They don't really be left for real, y'all. But then you can have the rightist of the rightist. Right. The most conservative people in the room. And she could sit with them and they will walk out with some type of understanding like, OK, well, I can see what you mean by that. And this is a solution. And I think for Madison and the Dane County area, those are the kind of people we need.
Yep.
We don't need people to take Black or white stance because nothing about the work for direct services, Child Protective Services, Dane County Sheriff, none of that is actually Black and white. It's pretty granular. Is that a word? Grainier?
And here's the other thing about the county exec position. It's not a political position. We don't need a politician like Melissa Agar.
Right.
Like we need somebody who's run systems, who works in systems, not somebody who's been up at the Capitol. Like they're two completely different positions.
Yeah,
somebody who has their expertise.
So y'all, so get out and vote, like Jay said. Like the people with the expertise, the folks that know how to run and manage programming.
And trust Black women.
Yeah. Ain't that...
Y'all want to use us for everything else, might as well go ahead and let us
speak
the truth.
Right, but the thing about Black women, everywhere we show up, we rock it.
Yep.
Period.
And then Madison and Dane County, we mess around and we lose them. Because we lost Vanessa McDowell, who was the first appointed CEO of YWCA, and she did great work in our community, including building the Y up and out of their racism, because I worked there too. And that was the let's just not talk about that
Let's not talk about that.
I get triggered.
Next time.
Okay, so but we losing her, and not even as a community, her church is losing her. Like Mount Zion Church, she's been there forever. I mean, I met her in church. I had to be about 10. I'm 44 now, that's 34 years. And she contributed a lot to that church. But what people don't do is they don't recognize what we give and our contribution until it's too late, right? Yep. So instead of acknowledged all the things, I mean, I'm sure she played a huge part with them paying off their mortgage.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They like own that building.
Yeah. And yep. I'm telling you, she has something to do with it because she's just that dope of a woman. And I don't know that for a fact, but I'm guessing because I know her role in that church. So we lose her not as just a community member, as a church person, mm-hmm. and as a direct service provider, ensuring equity and all of that. We right. lose a person that contributes to the diversity mm-hmm. of our community. And I honestly think that all Black women should run for Madison, Dane County. We should just all get
Let's
out.
Let's just run the county?
Just run. No, run it. Run out of the county. Get out.
Run out
get
of it.
Out of the county.
No, why don't we stay and change it though? Infiltrate the system.
Because it's not possible.
You don't think so?
No, it's too much whiteness. White people, even like for example, and I know we only got 1 minute left, Urban Triage has been on the scene for 3 years. We have done the most work than any organization that's been doing the work for 14 to 20 years, and they still fight us against us. And they never give us our credit. They never like, instead they put us in situations for people to attack us, and then they say, well, I don't know what to do about that. Like it's really sad. So why would we continue to endure abuse for the namesake of who? For what? For what purpose? So the city of Madison and Dane County could check boxes and say, look, I see that we're not that racist anymore because we did that. And that's how we end up being tokenized too as an organization.
That's true.
So
preach.
I don't know. And I think they tokenize us everywhere we go.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Right?
I mean everywhere.
Everywhere.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just a little worse.
Because I know y'all get pulled into every Black situation at your
period.
Job.
Period. Don't right, oh my God, we don't have time for that. That's my gig right there.
Like we hired you Black person, there's a Black situation over here.
You go deal with it.
But not only the Black situations, they want the brown the white ones too.
Right.
All situations.
Well, I mean, we are good at problem solving, aren't we?
Period.
So trust Black women. Y'all remember Vanessa's board that she had on Park Street that said, trust Black women. We meant it. She meant it. And we just need to do better. Trust Dana to be our county exec, to make history and do the work that we all know needs to happen and the work that we know a man or anybody else can't do. I mean, given her credentials and our expertise. So again, you're listening to 92.7 FM. We are out this time for good. Peace, love, and hair grease.